Hey there. Are you tired of waiting for the next episode of It's Probably Not Aliens? Well, we've got some good news for you. On Nebula, our streaming service, you can get access to all our episodes a week early. That's right. You'll never have to wait again to hear Scott and I debunk the latest ancient astronaut theory or get a movie fact wrong. But that's not all. Nebula is home to dozens of content creators we know you like, so you can find all your favorites in one place. Plus, we post content on there that you won't find anywhere else. And the best part? By signing up for Nebula at nebula.tv/probablynotaliens, you're directly supporting the show and both of us. So don't wait any longer. Join Nebula today and listen to the next episode right after this one.
We're not doing a cold open today. We're okay. Done with cold opens forever, at least
hottest
for right now. This is the hottest of openings. Why? Why are we doing that? Not because of anything serious, necessarily. We just figured at some point, someone listening, this might be their first episode. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, maybe you don't want to hear two random people that you don't know about rambling on about nothing. Maybe you want to get right into the aliens and the UFOs and fun things like that. So what if we do that? What if we just give up this thing that we've been doing for over 100 episodes?
Stop goofing around. Just all content. No.
At least
everyone.
At least for right now.
Yeah. Hi, this is a podcast called It's Probably Not Aliens.
Wow, we just got right into it.
Yeah.
What do we do on this podcast? Great question. We look at ancient astronaut theory and the TV show Ancient Aliens, and we debunk them or look into those claims while learning about real world history, philosophy. Not really. I don't know. I went into my pitch for my
aliens?
YouTube channel.
Why is aliens?
We look at real world history of people, places, things, objects, artifacts, events, things like that. And hopefully along the way you learn about some cool stuff. I'm one of the hosts of the two of us. My name is Scott. I don't know anything. I'm just like you. Maybe worse than you. Probably worse than you. I don't know anything. I just show up and I sit in front of this microphone. Sometimes I stand, but that's the extent of my role.
My name is Tristan Johnson, and I know too much. That should be our thing. I know nothing and I know too much.
That's right. We balance each other out.
But yeah, the whole idea is that in 2021, we started a podcast called It's Probably Not Aliens. And it would be a fun romp where we look into claims of ancient astronaut theories and things.
It's this one. It's this podcast you're listening to right now.
The thing, though, is that in the years since we started this podcast in 2021, UFOs have had a comeback. And we've had the beginning of the UAP task force, and just UFO talk has been humongous in the last few years. Been very great for our stock, but it also means that this podcast's coherence has had to give some way to the fact that we are now doing pseudo-history, pseudo-archaeology, ancient astronaut theory, but also conspiracy theories with a science fiction bend to them. And of course, now just UFOs and all that kind of stuff. We just became that. It's probably not aliens. Anything where we can say that it's probably not aliens, that's probably where we belong.
This is why, it's specifically why we chose the name of this podcast that we did, because we could have called it like Debunking Ancient Aliens or something like that. But sometimes we want to cover stuff that the show hasn't even covered. And we just want to talk about aliens, especially right now, as you're saying, there has been a resurgence, an increase in UFOs and UAP reports and sightings. And it's in the mainstream again, aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, when we went to Ancient Aliens Live, which was an episode that we did not too long ago, you can listen to that. When we went to their live show, they were saying at the end of it that like how much in the mainstream that aliens and UFOs and UAPs are now, and how it doesn't seem to a lot of people that ridiculous nowadays. So we want to be on those front lines with you all.
Yeah. And so today is an update basically to an episode we did about maybe like a year and a half ago, but also a sort of general look for anybody who has been curious about what in the fuck is going. Also, it's an explicit tag podcast.
Sorry.
What in the HE double hockey sticks is going on with what in the bastard is going on with this. And so I thought that it would be really good. You know, this is one of our, you know, behind the scenes, this is our last recording of 2023. So we're kind of both entering into the holiday season, which sounds like a relaxing time, but it's actually like one of the most stressful times for content creators. So as we're kind of entering into it, I wanted to put this thing together. This actually started as a Galactic Gazette piece that kind of just grew out of control. And I wanted to give a good opportunity also for new listeners to the show to kind of get a overhaul of basically like America's relationship with UFOs and how it links from like the past to today and who all the people are and what the thing. So it's like, this is like
who are the main characters.
Yeah. This is like your 30,000 foot view of what the fuck is going on.
What's happening in this space? This is your podcast to know all about it. And this episode specifically is a nice little overview.
Yeah.
What are the names? Who are the main characters? What are the things? What all these sightings and the themes, all this good stuff.
Yeah. To kind of go in more very broad sense, people have been seeing things in the sky forever because
birds exist. Yeah.
Birds exist, bugs exist, but also
clouds.
Clouds exist, the sun, weather does weird things. There's a lot of different reasons why people will see strange stuff in the sky and or will interpret normal stuff in the sky in very strange ways. And in recent times, specifically, you can look into this, that since World War II specifically, but also since like the dawn of like science fiction film in general, there has been, instead of interpreting these as angel sightings or battles in heaven, they've been interpreted as UFOs, flying saucers, any of those kinds of things. Interestingly, timed for a period in which all of the major world powers were starting to develop more advanced aerospace technology, and the Cold War led to a lot of countries developing a lot of new aerospace technology in secret. So it could be misinterpreting those things, or it could be us kind of working through our discomfort with the fact that we are living in a world where countries are becoming more and more powerful, and that they have a growing disconnection with the people that they have, and they feel less need to be honest with us about what they're doing. And oftentimes what they're doing has the development of things with heavy destructive capabilities. So with all that said, that's sort of my, if you wanted like the sort of TLDW or TLDL version of what Tristan thinks basically UFOs are, it's that. The other thing though is that in recent days we have, now anybody with a couple hundred bucks can buy a drone, and militaries are developing very advanced drone technology, and very often as that becomes more of a normal phenomenon, the US is having to figure out how to track and report if enemy countries are developing new advanced drone technology for spying or for possibly other, you know, more malicious activities. But because of the association of, you know, identifying a thing in the sky that you don't recognize with aliens and science fiction stuff, that it has caused a stigma. And so a lot of like the UAP stuff in recent days has been about like, hey, please report on this stuff because we don't want, like, people have had their careers ruined for reporting things they saw in the sky and then people thinking it's aliens. And they're like, well, now there's like there's legitimate spy craft and it's like been linked to things like, you know, nearby Russian subs and stuff. And so like, this shouldn't be stigmatized.
We had a whole episode about UAPs and how UFOs have sort of had that rebrand to UAP. And this is part of it. Not only is UAP more accurate because if you see something in the sky, it doesn't necessarily, number one, it doesn't have to be flying. That's like a specific verb that it might not actually be doing. And number two, it might not even be an object. It could just be, you know, UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena. It could just be like the sun reflecting. We talk about sun dogs or things like that, or just like the way that clouds look, or the way that this, you know, light can reflect or refract and things like that. So it might not even be necessarily an object. It could just be a trick of the light. And again, it's just in the sky. It doesn't necessarily have to be flying. So UAP is more accurate than UFO, but it also has that benefit of being less stigmatized because UFO has become such a big, like, science fiction-y conspiracy theorist sort of like term that everybody knows. UAP is like a sort of rebrand of it that is like, okay, but these things do happen though. There are things in the sky that are unidentified that we do need to figure out what they are. And we don't want people to feel like if they report it that their careers are going to be ruined because people are going to think they're a crank, that they're just like, you know, that they're a quack in some capacity of just like, well, clearly we can't take this person seriously. They're claiming UFOs? No. So UAP, I think, was a necessary rebrand of it for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so while this like was existing in the air, things started to get more serious in the 2000s as things moved forward. The big thing that I think that we need to mention is that in 2004, there was the Tic Tac incident, which really made the sort of set of what we're seeing today go off. So in 2004, which was now, I guess, 20 years ago, because it's 2024 now, during a training mission off the coast of California, a retired Navy pilot commander encountered a UAP. It was described as resembling a white Tic Tac about the size of a fighter jet, which is about 40 feet, had no wings and was hovering near the water. The main things that stuck out as being weird is that it didn't have what's called rotor wash, which is a visual disturbance caused by helicopter blades, which meant that it has some kind of propulsion or ability to hover that defied what we know about how these kinds of vehicles function.
Yeah, it's not like how an airplane or a helicopter hovers by like pushing air downward, basically, which would disturb the water. This is not doing that.
Exactly. The UAP began mirroring the movements of the pilots as they attempted to pursue it, suggesting that it was aware of their presence. I would also argue that that also is a sign that it might be an optical illusion, which I think a lot of people are starting to suggest it is now.
That would have been my first thought, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just putting my bias out there, that would have been my first thought.
Yeah. It's also demonstrated to move rapidly and evade different things, moving very quickly, moving away from sight, being detected in 60 miles away in less than a minute, which also generally implies like that the problem is that like optical illusion is the main thing to go to, but this stuff has been caught on camera. This stuff has been caught on multiple sensors. So this is where things get a little interesting because the Tic Tac incident could very well be explained by being an optical illusion, but there's a little bit more to it that suggests there might be something more interesting. And we talked about this in the UAP episode, but this is why people might suggest that it might be something that is like what's called electronic warfare, which is when you design things to basically fuck with an enemy's sensors.
If things are
moving at unnatural speeds, it could be something like that.
Is it also possible that it's a viral marketing campaign for Tic Tacs?
Ooh, if so,
because I am craving some right now. It's working on me.
If so, Tic Tac, I have a bone to pick with you. So Tic Tac last year, you did a collab with Coca-Cola. It was one of the greatest moments of my adult life because Coca-Cola flavored Tic Tacs were so good.
It
was a temporary measure and now it is done.
Okay.
And I really want Coca-Cola flavored Tic Tacs again.
We need them back. I've not had one of these. This sounds amazing. I love when they make soda flavored candies. We had soda flavored like gummies for we handed out last Halloween. And we actually kept a whole bunch for ourselves because they were delicious.
Yeah. There's Coca-Cola flavored gummies are like one of my favorites. There's those keto candies, those like non-sugar candies that you can buy.
Yeah.
They have Coca-Cola ones that are really good. Or Coca-Cola flavored gummies where you only eat one because you're going to have a very interesting evening afterwards. All those things are my faves. both of those. There's two different types.
For the record, that is not what we handed out to children for Halloween. All right.
No. Shit, no, man, I couldn't afford that.
No, we're keeping that to ourselves, baby.
It's like $30 for like five of them. Like, no.
Yeah, no one's handing out their best stuff to children.
Kids aren't getting free drugs.
No.
That's the main part when like people are giving marijuana laced gummies to kids. And I was like, do you know how expensive that shit is? Like no one's gonna
wait
hundreds of dollars of free stuff. Anyways, the other thing too is that this had no distinctive features, no visible markings, no wings, no exhaust plumes, and these are typically seen on aircraft. So it was a very weird thing.
Yeah, hence why it was, I guess, nicknamed a tic. It looks like a little tic-tac.
Yeah.
Tic-tacs don't have wings. Everyone knows this.
So when this was reported, no one was able to explain what it was. But when it was reported, this person's career got sidetracked because it was, associated with UFOs. Oh, you're seeing little green men, et cetera, et cetera. And the person became a little bit marginalized in the sort of Air Force infrastructure. To give a little bit of historical context on UFOs.
I love that.
We have been seeing like the modern UFO phenomenon, you could probably say started in 1947. The first one would be the Kenneth Arnold, with Kenneth Arnold sighting in 1947, where a private pilot reported seeing 9 disc-shaped objects near Mount Rainier in Washington that were traveling at over 1,000 miles per hour and called them flying saucers, which led to a surge in reports across the country. So that's, if you want your origin, there it is. In the same year,
the flying saucer.
Mm-hmm, in the same year, a test balloon that was used for detecting the acoustic sounds of Soviet nuclear explosions went down at Roswell, which was interpreted by the local news to be a crashed UFO, basically hot on the heels of the Mount Rainier incident. So they the local news thought it was a crashed flying saucer.
People were thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was redacted the next day, but this basically became the birth of modern UFOs and the idea that the government is secretly working on them.
Well, if it was redacted the next day, that only makes it more suspicious, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
And we've done an episode about Roswell as well, if you want to listen to that. If this is your first episode of ours,
yeah,
we're making suggestions for you.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, my name is Scott and his name is Tristan, just to reintroduce ourselves again, in case you've already
forgotten. We will be doing this every 5 minutes for the rest of the podcast. We'll just start over. The other thing too, is that in 1952, so only 5 years later, Washington, D.C. had some unexplained sightings through their radar scopes at Washington National Airport and at Andrews Air Force. They've picked up mysterious blips, which got national headlines and raised concerns within the Truman administration that led to a series. Again, all of these would lead to increased reports of sightings of UFOs, but this was the beginning of the government taking an interest in UAPs. Then in Suffolk, UK in 1980, the Rendlesham Forest incident, UK and US Air Force stationed at the RAF Woodbridge reported sightings of interactions with a UAP, often dubbed Britain's Roswell. Again, drawing a lot of attention. That's why Britain has a very developed, like, you know, UFO task force. Then
copy off of us, huh?
Exactly. To spur another recent, because the 1990s were marked by many UFO incidents, mostly because of the popularity of the X-Files, but also because of a wave in 1989 and 1990 of seeing triangular UAP sightings in Belgium. Thousands of people reportedly reported on this, but and even the Belgian Air Force tried to intercept these using the most advanced flying waffles they possibly could.
Yep.
But they were unsuccessful. Their chocolate missiles were not able to intercept with them.
They weren't able to do it with their I think their waffles were too deep, too thick, too fluffy.
Yeah. I was going to say sorry to Belgium, but I'm not sorry. Belgium knows what it did.
It made delicious breakfast.
And destroyed Congo.
That as well.
Europe. Delicious food. Terrible history.
Europe, where no one is innocent.
Nope. So that's like the sort of history that led. And then in 2004, we have this reporting and all of a sudden the government is taking another interest. There was Project Blue Book in the interim, which was the government trying to make where they took down a lot of documented reports of UFOs and explained away most of them and kind of came to the conclusion that it was probably nothing, or what people were seeing that were something was something that the government did not want people knowing about because it was probably, you know, experimental aircraft or things that were not exactly legal that the government was doing, as they do. Today, now, the government is taking seriously the idea of trying to explain what UAPs are, because if they are natural phenomenon, it would be good to explain them away. But also, if they aren't natural phenomenon and they are, say, Russians or the Chinese developing new advanced forms of drones or electronic warfare or anything else that the government of the United States is probably interested in figuring out what that is so they can either do it themselves or at least find ways to counter it. Mm-hmm. So this has led to a bunch of different people, and these are sort of the main characters. First, as we talked about in the Galactic Gazette episode, NASA put together an independent study team of 16 people that were tasked with investigating the UAP phenomenon, and they basically concluded that they need to make a permanent phenomenon or a permanent task force that is going to investigate these in the future, involving using artificial intelligence and, you know, the state-of-the-art analytics technologies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing that people are actually taking some of this stuff seriously. Again, if this is your first podcast you've ever listened to us, we're not in the business of saying that there aren't aliens out there. We're just saying a lot of the times we look at historical context and things like this, like we're doing right now, and saying, well, there are other explanations that seem more likely.
Yeah.
And so we're happy that I feel like, I can only speak for myself, but I'm happy people are looking into stuff like this and trying to figure out what these UAPs are.
Yeah. My take is that it would be really cool if it was aliens, but I'm very skeptical given what we know about physics and how the distances involved and the amount of power that would be needed to do things like this. Like the idea, like, so I think cool. I talked about this, like how Roswell is supposed to be a UFO crash. And I would say that, like, if something could spin up to like something approaching relativistic velocities, like even a decent percentage of the speed of light, and could crash land on Earth, that would be like, if something like that were to crash on Earth, it would take out half the solar system with it because of how much energy you would need to do something like that.
Yeah.
Just the kinetic force. And keep in mind, kinetic force is no small thing. There was actually this program to, instead of using nuclear weapons, there was this plan, and I can't believe this is a real thing, but the idea was that they would have a satellite with these really heavy tungsten rods that'd be flown into space. Oh, yeah,
I know this.
And then they would just drop them on cities, and they would have so much kinetic force that they would like basically have the power of a nuclear bomb without the radiation.
That was like a plot point in one of the Call of Duty games, I think.
Oh, was it? I've never played Call of Duty, so I don't know.
I don't remember. Someone will correct me. Hey, we do corrections episodes sometimes if you're listening to this podcast for the first time.
You're really acting as the it's probably not aliens.
This could be someone's first episode. I don't know.
That's the whole point.
My name is Scott. He's Tristan.
Another person to mention is that the associate administrator for the science mission directorate at NASA's headquarters, named Thomas Zurbuchen, is one of the bigger person who is talking about the importance of looking at big data and analyzing the mass amounts of things to figure out what UAPs are. And also that after the report came out, the NASA had to put together a director of UAP research who is trying to shift the conversation away from sensationalism and focus on the science. So this is the new thing that's moving forward. But then outside of like scientific inquiry, the Department of Defense, which obviously is very interested in like these potentially being enemy aircraft, are also looking into it. The big person there is Sean Kirkpatrick, who's the director of the All Domain Anomaly Resource Office, or AARO, and is trying to look into the Pentagon's task force for studying UAPs. The AARO coordinates efforts across federal agencies and tries to detect, identify, and attribute mysterious objects in the air, space, and underwater. So this is now like showing how much the government's taking it seriously, that they have this guy, and they are definitely much more focused on trying to find threats.
They got a guy with three names in his name. We got Sean Kirkpatrick.
It's true.
And Kirkpatrick is just the last name, but it's a last name that has two other first names in it. That's how serious they're taking this.
He actually merged his two names because we all know that people who have three first names as their name tend to assassinate presidents, like Lee Harvey Oswald and John Wilkes.
That is true. This one person with these three names condensed into two names is a task force in and of himself. That's how much they're taking this so seriously.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Another big person to know about is a guy named Garrett Graff, who's a journalist who's been chronicling the evolution of the UAP tracking program.
Mm-hmm.
He has a critical perspective on the intersection of government efforts and the public fascination with UAPs. So he's trying to like tell us about what the UAP like, you know, task force is up to, but at the same time is trying to, you know, get those get those clicks from the UFO, or because the thing is about these things, this is I think a lot of why the government is being the way it is that they knew the second that these things would go public, and unfortunately, but they did end up going public because most things in the American government should be public unless they have a very good reason for it not to be, and so they went forward with this and established that like this is like. They knew that when they were going to do this, that it was going to create a whole wave, because there's a lot of people who want the UFOs to be aliens. And so they need to figure out a way to talk about this in a way that, you know, spurs interest, increases NASA and the Pentagon's budget, but doesn't result in us being like, is it aliens? Maybe aliens. Unfortunately, that has not worked.
Hasn't worked.
Yeah. No. And so many people have talked about their own UAP findings, if they saw UAPs while they were in the military, and that has spurred up things. And also has led to things like UAPX, which is a Florida-based nonprofit that is trying to investigate things. Furthermore, I don't know if this is UAPX. But there is the one that was started by a former member of Blink-182.
Oh, nice. I was going to say you could tell me that UAPX is another
Elon company Musk debacle.
Elon Musk latched onto and was like, how about this one has an X now too? And I would believe you.
If anyone remembers the name of Tom DeLonge's UFO charity that he started when he kind of went crazy and left Blink-182, then
Hey, new album's good though. Listen to that new album. It's a good album.
Blink-182 basically ended because Tom DeLonge was too obsessed with UFOs.
Well, we all have our vices.
We all have our things, yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah. If I were to gauge how many NerdSync videos has Baldur's Gate eaten? Like at least
so
one.
Many. So many. I'm so lost in this game right now. Why is it so good? And why is it so big? I don't get it. I made a joke in one of my recent videos that I'm like 200 hours in and I just got to the physical gate of Baldur's Gate. Like I actually got to Baldur's Gate in the game called Baldur's Gate. And I'm realizing now, I don't even think that's true, Tristan. I think I just got a waypoint that is around Baldur's Gate, but I haven't even been to Baldur's Gate yet.
Oh my goodness.
How big is this game?
Oh man, I look forward to beating it in 3 years when Baldur's Gate 4 is being announced or something. I imagine it's going to be way more than 4 years. But
it'll be announced soon enough, but it's going to take another decade to get it out there, which is fine. Take time. This game is big and good, and I want
play
the next one to also
times.
Be big and good. I'll play one every decade.
Their previous one, Divinity Original Sin 2, which came out in 2017, is also very, very good. So if you want a follow-up... Go play
we'll
Divinity Original Sin 2, where elves learn facts about the world by eating people.
So this is another thing that we do on the podcast sometimes.
Get distracted
Tristan
by shit.
And I both have ADHD, and we'll sometimes just talk about nerdy shit for a little bit, and we'll forget that we're doing a podcast.
Yes,
and you'll
okay,
get used to it, and you'll get used to it, and you'll think it's really charming, and you'll grow to love it like we do.
People do enjoy it.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not hating on it. I'm just I'm informing people.
I just got it. We got an email this morning that was a big list of Minecraft mods I should check out. So obviously people are engaging with it in some capacity.
I think so too.
Okay. So let's also talk about like the reason why this is why it's a big deal. So first, in 2023, there was a notable increase in analyzed UAP reports. So people have been reporting a lot more UAPs, and the government has been taking it seriously. So more shit's happening, which I would argue is probably because there's more drones in the sky. As I said, I think I said in a podcast episode a long time ago that I think that one of the things that will be like the most, like, you know how when you see like a visual image of like a visual image as opposed to an audio image, but like when you see like those like
picture,
sort of old photographs from like, you know, 100 years ago, and you can kind of juxtapose it with like how different things are today. I think that the main visual difference from like the time that we were born to like the time, like when we were like, you know, when we die, like in our life, our like lifespan, is going to be that the sky is going to look a lot more busy. Because I think that once drones, once the battery, because we have like this whole bottleneck with battery technologies.
Batteries are a big sink into like technology right now.
Yeah.
Just like that is the limit on certain technologies. Yeah. We've got to figure out better batteries.
But there's a handful of battery breakthroughs. And if any of them work out and we can have batteries that can hold more energy with less weight, then I think that the sky is going to be much busier in the future, and that we're going to see more drones just doing things like
delivery drivers will be gone. It'll just be drones delivering stuff.
Yeah.
Just drones doing all sorts of fun things.
Yeah. And like, you know,
also not fun things.
Upsides and downsides. Like, I think that also a lot of drone stuff is going to replace things that cars used to do. And the fewer cars there are on the road, the better.
That's true.
As somebody who is
louder, yeah. Drones are pretty loud,
but they can go higher up, so you don't have to hear them.
That is also true. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. I miss the time when
we're developing new rotors to make them quieter, so they are getting better at that too.
And I miss the time. Is you know, in my parents' lifetime, if they were to look back at an old picture to be like juxtapose it with their stuff, it would just be that like people in the 1920s just wore hats more often versus today.
Yeah.
Whereas we're just like the sky will be filled. Will be shadowed in drones.
Well, I guess that's an extreme way to talk about it. But there will, like, the idea of seeing a unmanned robotic flying machine going over your head, doing various things, will not be like a weird thing. It'll just be like a kind of like part of like, you know, like just seeing cars driving around.
Yeah,
and I think that'll be a thing in the near term future. As like I said, the battery thing
just
is like
the
main thing.
Just gotta fix these batteries. Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that the government's taking it more seriously, as we talked about with the AARO and NASA, that they are they're taking these reports more seriously. So they're processing more of them. That's why they reported over 800 sightings in 2023, which is a significant increase from the year before. And now they're reporting that they are getting dozens of these monthly, with the expectation that they're going to have hundreds, if not thousands more, which, you know, cart and the horse. I think this might be like a little bit of like, because they're taking it more seriously, more people are reporting them because people are thinking about it more. And we've kind of seen in the history of UFOs and UAPs that people have a habit of seeing more UFOs the more they are reported on.
Makes sense to me.
Then also in July, there was a hearing in Congress on UAPs that drove further public attention because of David Grush saying that I don't have any evidence myself, but I have this piece of paper and I know a guy, and that guy says that it's non-human intelligences, which made everybody like lose their shit. But, you know, he wasn't able to produce pictures or
pull a little any alien evidence out of his hat
or anything.
Yeah.
So that has it's unconvincing to me, but it's enough to again drive more attention and again drive more reports. And that's kind of probably why you're hearing about it so much.
It also doesn't necessarily, now that I'm thinking about it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's aliens. It's just non-human. So what if there's like
beavers?
What if beavers are just like fucking way smarter than we thought they were?
Beaver dams, if you think about it, are created by non-human intelligences.
They built dams. They can build more. They'll build a flying one. They'll do it.
Isn't there like a game?
A sky dam.
There's like an entire like damming based city builder that's about being a beaver, like being like anthropomorphic beavers who build stuff. It's called Timberborn or something like that.
Timberborn.
I'm not even joking. It's like a real game.
That's good. That's fun.
And it's like about like the main thing is that the big shtick, like the big interesting thing about the game is that you have to like manage running water. And so if you make a dam, you're going to like, you know, like you're going to have overflow and where you get the water and like managing where that goes and stuff like that is part of the game.
Oh,
I have so many games.
So think about beavers doing that, and then they could do it in the sky, maybe.
Yeah, sky
dams. Tails. They can flap their tails so much that they fly up into the
like
beautiful
tails in Sonic.
Yeah, exactly.
I really want. I was just thinking about that. Like this. All the video games that I never have time to play. Anyways, the other thing too is that a lot of UAP sightings tend to happen near restricted military airspace, which means that this is why people are kind of having issues. Like this is why the government's taking it seriously, and also is kind of the implication that this might be spies.
Spies
or electronic warfare or something of the thing. The annual UAP report, which came out from the Defense Department and the Office of the Director of the National Intelligence, highlighted that there's ongoing investigations and that none of the UAP reports have at this point been definitively attributed to any foreign activities. They still haven't many, like the thing about the UAPs, like they got 800 plus reports, and I don't know how many they've processed and investigated, but like the thing that NASA has talked about too is that like the vast majority of them have an explanation. Only a few of them have like some question marks around them that they need to investigate. So it just shows like there's like a sort of a decent amount of stuff. And so they're trying to figure out what these are, if they are dangerous.
Yeah.
And maybe in the process, advance scientific understanding, and how we can actually study these things might also, like when these kinds of investigations happen, we'll learn more ways to analyze data to figure out more stuff, and science will benefit from the process.
Absolutely.
Sort of like a scientific Keynesianism. So there's different forces though at play. And the problem is that we basically have skeptics, believers, and the government. So skeptics like us have pointed out that UAP sightings and misinterpretations are probably made of, like, you know, man-made objects or natural phenomenon or hoaxes. There's so many UFO Twitter posts that are, like, so obviously hoaxes, but they're, like, posted as real things that it's actually like shows how easy it is to do so. And skeptics want to look into this with a rigorous scientific investigation. And that if you want to say that this is, like, a UAP is indeed of extraterrestrial origin, you're going to need some serious fucking evidence to convince people.
Yes, huge, big claims require big evidence.
Yeah, and that would involve, you know, hearings, independent congressional investigations, clarity, and you know, active work debunking and or validating UAP claims. Like, so that's why, like, I think that it's important for this work to do this, because the more ways that we, like, deeply investigate it, take it seriously, and not dismiss it out of hand, the more we can just kill this story that, like, that aliens have come to Earth and are fucking with our everyday lives.
For funsies.
The believers want to interpret that UAPs are a sign of extraterrestrial life or advanced technology that we do not understand because it is being made by, like, you know, the deep state or something.
Sure.
And have argued that the volume and consistency of these reports, especially from military personnel who they consider credible, warrant serious investigations. People like David Grush, as I mentioned earlier, are real believers who have talked about, who have, like, real credentials and have said that they believe it is aliens. So there is, like, there's people who have said big things, and they represent a large faction of people who are very invested in, you know, I would say to the point where they have confirmation bias in a way that they really, really want this to be aliens. And they are relying on a lot of hearsay and not relying a lot on, like, you know, physical, tangible evidence.
Yeah.
The government, in the meanwhile, is in the middle of this and basically just wants to put down the historical dismissiveness of UAPs in order to take them more seriously, to figure out whether or not they're threats to the country. That's basically the main thing.
That's really all it is. I feel like they're less focused on, is it aliens? And they're more focused on what country is doing this.
Yeah, exactly. In the meantime, so here's how the government has responded to all this. The Department of Defense put together the AARO in 2022 to investigate things. Their mission is to detect, track, analyze, and manage UAPs. They have improved their data collection and reporting system on UAPs through this so that there is a centralized, standardized way to report and analyze these, which then turns into sort of like a systematic process, which there wasn't one before. So that's also can explain why there are just so many of them. They have made it, like, an intentional, like, intelligence collection and analysis plan, and a secure reporting mechanism so that there's a secure channel for employees, service members, or contractors to report directly to the AARO and not, like, you know, not worry about having their reputations attacked as a result. Sort of like a whistleblower, but for for things in the skies.
Right.
And they plan to, as they, you know, but through standardizing and analyzing, they'll hopefully be able to understand either scientifically or through, you know, intelligence reasons, what these are and what to do about them. NASA did an independent study that we talked about in the Galactic Gazette, which is a bunch of aerospace personnel, people who know physics and science, who are trying to focus more on a data-driven analysis and use this to understand it from, like, a kind of position of scientific inquiry, rather than like, you know, a military thing. And furthermore,
trust those numbers. Bunch of nerds over at NASA. That's their thing.
They're wonderful nerds.
I love them. They're the best wonderful nerds.
They're the most wonderful of nerds. Also, the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics have also set up a committee to try and focus on detecting, characterizing, and evaluating these to, because they're focused on basically, like, aerospace safety. So they're worried about, like, these things entering and, like, being a danger to, like, airplanes and stuff.
Yeah. Don't want stuff to crash into each other in the sky.
Mm-hmm. But then you have other people like the Galileo Project. So the Galileo Project is led by Avi Loeb, who is kind of this grifter who calls everything potentially aliens. His main thing, the main thing is that he levers the fact that he is a Harvard professor to try and push for all these things. Like, he's the person who said that Oumuamua might have been a solar sail. And he's, like, you know, recently come back from excavation looking for these metal balls that were found in the water, assuming that they were also of extraterrestrial origin. There is Angela Collier, who's, like, one of my favorite YouTubers, made a amazing video detailing, like, not only is Avi Loeb, like, a bit of a crank when it comes to this kind of stuff, but also his, like, scientific bona fides He touts that he like publishes or has credit on tons and tons of articles. And it's because he's established enough that he can get almost anything he writes published. And he writes a lot of journal articles that are like, what if somebody did this? Doesn't do an experiment, doesn't do like a full study to figure it out. But he's just like, this is an interesting idea.
He's just asking the question.
Publish this.
He's just asking questions. Yeah. Here's a big question I have. Publish it and put PhD at the end of my name, I assume.
Exactly. Avi Loeb leads the Galileo Project, which is obviously trying to lean into the whole idea that like the Catholic Church is censoring us because Galileo, for saying that, you know, the Earth revolves around the sun, I believe, was censored by the Church. Every fucking asshole who thinks that they're telling truth to power since has tried to
always
use
brought
Galileo.
This up.
Yeah.
Always brought up this exact. Well, you know, they said Galileo he was obviously onto something, but they didn't want him to. They wanted to hide it. They wanted to shut that shit down, much like everything that's going around with everything that I believe.
Yeah. So obviously, Avi Loeb is basically comparing himself to one of the greatest astronomers in history to tell that story. Again, after the NASA did their UAP project, they created a research director role to fill. Well, I don't know if they've filled it yet, but as of now, their plan is to have a UAP research director.
I make a suggestion to NASA? Get a person with three first names. Then it'll feel like a one-person task force.
There you go.
That's my suggestion.
Tom Dick Henry. If there's the one Tom person Dick whose Henry. Name Tom Dick Henry, you are ready. This is made for you.
This is for you. Does Sean Kirkpatrick have a sister? Jessica Kirkpatrick.
Jessica Kirkpatrick. Or you know, what are those people like? I don't know if this is I think it's true in some parts of America, but like in Canada, like if you live in Quebec, there are people who have like one of the most common names is Jean-François. So if we got Jean-François Kirkpatrick, that's four names.
That's four whole names.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Then you get a Catholic. You gotta make sure they're Catholic. So they have a confirmation name too.
And the best part is you only have to pay them one person's salary. And that's like four to five people.
All right. We need to find you got. Okay, we got more. All right. So you have to have a hyphenated first name like you are like a French Canadian. Also, they have to be Arab in some capacity because Arabs have a much longer naming convention. Like I think they have we have first, middle, and last names. They have like five different names that are part of their sort of naming conventions.
Just get fucking Junie from Spy Kids. His whole name is long, is like a paragraph. That's awesome.
We could just get the person who has the most condensed amount of first names in one name. That would be
That's why he was like the best spy. That's why in that whole saga, he was like number one spy, is because he was a whole team of spies because he had a big long name and it was great. And I loved every time when they got to say the whole name as like a password or something. It was fun.
Beautiful. We could also get who's that woman from Invincible who can turn herself into multiple different people?
Replicate or duplicate?
Yeah, duplicate.
Yeah.
Yeah, get her.
Get duplicate. We've got options. We've got ideas.
Call us. We have ideas.
Yeah.
All of this is to try and move away from sensation to science and approach this from various different angles using, you know, real scientific methods. And I think that the main things that the main reactions have been, people have been wanting this to be a transparent process because people have argued that, you know, they should, when we're reporting on UAPs, they should be transparent, and they've called for congressional hearings and more transparency from the military and intelligence agencies about this, because if it is aliens, people have the right to know. And I would argue that that is the case. I don't think that, you know, I think there's an advocacy group called Americans for Safe Aerospace and also Declassify UAP that are pushing for changing policies to be more open about what they are finding, which I think would be great because if they could publicly publish all of the things and what they think they are, that might help somewhat. There's also just conspiracy theories. Like many conspiracy theorists think that the UAP information is being secretive because they're covering up that they actually do know that it's like, you know, UFOs or whatever. And that this is just a front to try and dissuade us from the very real thing that is that aliens have somehow managed to break the light speed barrier and get to Earth somehow.
Somehow.
Yeah.
We'll ask questions when we meet them.
Mm-hmm. And as we learned at our live show, that they feel like...
Not our show. No. We went to someone else. We went to Ancient Aliens Live.
Yeah. As we learned at Ancient Aliens Live, though, that they feel like they're being discriminated against for believing in insane things. But then there's other people who have argued that the UAP task force is kind of a waste of time and is like this, like, you know, big military boondoggle where they're putting a bunch of money into studying nonsense instead of, you know, real things.
See, it's hard to argue with that, because on one hand, I'm like, yeah, it's nice to investigate if there are, you know, UAPs are real things that it would benefit to look into. But at the same time, I'm like, but yeah, we do have like the largest military budget
ever in the history of mankind.
And we definitely have other things that we could be spending that money on that would better people's lives.
Healthcare,
a little education. More education, infrastructure.
Yeah, I'd be good.
Boring America, stuff that is good.
Like, knowing what UAPs are would be really cool. America having bridges that don't collapse would also be pretty cool.
That would be good too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so, yeah, we end up like with this sort of situation that always comes up, though, is that there's this delicate debate about the public's right to know with, you know, national security and the need for secrecy. And that, you know, it's depending upon how much the government wants to lean on one or the other, because the U.S. government does have a history of leaning too hard on secrecy, which breeds conspiracy theories. I have proposed a handful of resolutions to solve the UAP issue.
This is so new. We normally don't come with solutions. We normally just come with complaints. So this is new for us. I like this.
Yeah. Okay.
See, normally, if you're a new listener, we tend to end the episode with a section that's called the part where Tristan makes you sad. But this is unprecedented. We've never come with like actual solutions. So I'm pretty stoked about this.
Yeah, we're trying to make everybody happy.
He's Tristan. He's Tristan. That's Scott. In the part. Nothing. And I'm Scott. Yeah.
What a bit. Okay. So first, I think that I am an advocate for transparency. I think that the government should not be doing shit with people's money and not telling the public, not making it public unless there's some like extremely good reason for it. So luckily this is happening. The Senate's UAP Disclosure Act of 2023 does mandate that all UAP records have to have a sort of time limit before they have to be made public so that nothing can stay secret forever. Everything in the US government has to have a expiry date on anything that they label as secret, but I might be wrong on that because I think that kind of stuff gets renewed and everything, but maybe this is like, you know, this has to be made public by a certain time. I also am very much into this idea that there's multiple different organizations looking into it for different reasons. The All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, AARO, but also NASA working into it, means that we're going to have multiple different analysts and different tools and resources that will result in, I think, a rather consistent pattern of them not being aliens. And also means that like they can collaborate. And if they do more like open science, it means that we can advance our scientific understanding of this much more. And also
collaboration between people, you know, not hiding information, collaborating. I feel like it's only, there's only an upside.
Yeah. I would also think that it would be better if the government was more engaging with the public, if they were to do hearings and consultations specifically because the world has a problem when it comes to UAPs and UFOs, which is that it has built an elaborate anti-government conspiracy, and that America has a not insignificant number of people who are really into these theories, and their entire theory is based around a fundamental mistrust of the government and a like dislike for the government, which is TBH 100% earned. Yep. One of the ways that they could mitigate this is that throughout their process of reporting, not only being public about it, but also consulting and engaging with the public about the stuff that they're doing as they're doing it. So that they can have a sort of a development of trust, because I think that a lot of UAP or a lot of UFO conspiracy theorists come from a place of having a fundamental no trust of the government, which is fair.
Yeah.
But a way to mitigate that somewhat would be if the government were to be more open or more interactive.
Yeah. Notice that Tristan is not saying that people need to be more trusting of the government, but rather that the government needs to.
That's the worst idea.
No. Tristan is saying the government needs to earn people's trust back.
Yes. And they need to be more honest. Like, I think that if they were to, I think that if specifically on the topic of UFOs, if they were to listen more to people and allow for more public, you know, discussion and participation in this process, then it would go a long way towards people thinking that this is all an elaborate conspiracy designed to hide the true things, which is that they have physically impossible spaceships that can move at speeds that are literally impossible in a universe that has time. The other part too is that we should probably have a regular review of classified information, things like the UAP Disclosure Act. I think that would mean that, like, every so often the government should go over everything that they have locked under secrecy and determine if this actually still needs to be secret, and if it doesn't, then they should just release it, because I think that the government errs towards keeping things secret rather than defaulting to public, and I think that it would be better if they were to be more on board with that.
Absolutely.
Which is the thing. And also, furthermore, that people should have, there should be strong whistleblower protection. Those who report UAPs should have good lines of communication towards whoever is processing them, because it can be damaging to the career. And I do think that if they made it so that it was too difficult to report them, or that you would expose yourself to the public, that would, again, I think, hurt their relationship with the public about whether or not they're being, you know, forthcoming and transparent about what's going on.
Yeah. Protect those people.
Yeah. And so then, and in the future, I hope that this is going to result in some interesting things. Like, I hope that ARO and NASA means there's going to be more independent study. There's going to be more collaboration between departments and more of a dedication to transparent science, not just in, you know, UFO detection, but in other sort of endeavors, that there will be more open science available for people to do. And that, that maybe this more open mind moves towards something being less dismissive and being more, the government doing more to improve science and our understanding of the world through openness and collaboration and transparency would go a long way towards the government being, you know, more democratic and people knowing what their government is doing, so that they can, you know, decide whether they want to vote for the people who keep doing it, et cetera, et cetera.
And they just got to use this patent pending 5-step program that you've created.
Exactly. And obviously, like, it's an ongoing phenomenon. There are unanswered questions. Some of these are still mysterious, and there's still a lot of curiosity and research that needs to be done. And that as it's evolving, there's going to be new discoveries and insights. And I look forward to finding out what these things actually are at the end of the day. I think that if we go in there, you know, with the preconceived idea that it's aliens, we're going to dissuade ourselves from, you know, finding some interesting answers to what these actually are. That's my sort of overall view of where we are when it comes to the UAP phenomenon today. I'm sure I'm going to not ruffle a single feather in this entire endeavor.
Yeah, I think it's a good overview. Why is this stuff popping up so much? What's the history of it? What are some explanations? What can we do about it? That's sort of, we covered a lot of ground today. I say we, but it was mostly you.
You, me, and you, but mostly me. It's from the Book of Mormon.
Why not?
When we were starting the podcast, when we were having our meeting to start the podcast, that's how it went. It was like, you and me, but mostly me are going to change the world forever.
That's how it went. See, I told you we're a bunch of nerds here on this podcast. And if you like listening to this podcast, then you can always follow us, follow this podcast, subscribe, do whatever you need to do. And let us know your thoughts over at Probs Not Aliens on Twitter and Blue Sky. We hand out Blue Sky codes every so often.
Let me get one of those for you.
Over here. Tristan's going to jump on that. In the meantime, I'll give Tristan a second thing to do, which is, Tristan, what else do you do online?
I have a YouTube channel called Step Back, which can be found at stepbackissue.com. And it is a channel where I try to make the world make sense by knowing about history, which is a thing that school didn't do a super good job at getting people to do. If you want to, the Blue Sky social code is BSKY-social-5IEBS-SEWG2.
That's it.
First come, first serve.
Free to a good home.
Yeah, Scott.
Yep.
If I wanted to know the history of the Superman parade balloon.
Oh boy.
Where would I need to go to find that?
So this is a fun bit that Tristan does at the end of these episodes where he will pull from one of my very old videos, because I've been on YouTube for about 10 years, and he'll find one of my oldest ones that is not very good. And he'll be like, well, how about this? And that's from my YouTube channel called NerdSync, NERDSYNC. I have made so many videos about so many different things. I've got a bunch up right now. This is coming out in January, so hopefully I have a video where me and my wife explore the weird world of licensed cookbooks. We make a whole bunch of food from cookbooks that should never have been made.
I have a copy of the D&D cookbook. I should mail it to you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even try the D&D. We didn't do that one. We did Bob Ross. We did DC Comics, Marvel Comics. We have a Barbie one. We've got a Scooby-Doo one, obviously. It was a fun time. The Bob Ross one was very cute. So
you also look into your detailed breakdown of the trailer for an upcoming show called The Flash coming to the CW.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that's my channel, and I'm also just at Scott Nice Wonder everywhere. We don't really plug most of our other stuff. But anyway, yeah. A great place where you can find more information about this show and send people links to listen to it is a very simple website called probsnotaliens.com. Mm-hmm. It's got links to all the places where you can listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the other podcast catchers and things that you want to check out.
This year, YouTube is going to have podcasts. It'll be interesting how
YouTube's going to have podcasts. We have to figure that out.
Yep.
And thank you to everyone who writes reviews of this show on Apple Podcasts and leaves comments on YouTube, I suppose, and leaves feedback on Spotify. There's so many different ways to engage.
Yeah. And if you want to listen to next week's episode a week early, one of the things that we do over at if you sign up for Nebula via nebula.tv/probablynotaliens, you could subscribe to this podcast. Episodes come out a week early, and there are no ads telling you to sign up for Nebula to get episodes early. And they're not being ads. So
except for this part at the end, which we never edit out of the Nebula version.
Fair enough.
But we can say, if you're listening on Nebula, thank you.
Yes, it's great. Thank you for listening on Nebula.
So thank you so much for listening again, especially if this was your first episode. Let us know if we did a good job of explaining this whole show. Until next time, once again, and so you know, my name is Scott Nicewander.
I'm Tristan Johnson, and one of the things that I do at the end of the show is I say that the truth is out there, and then as the music swells, I then say probably. But I say probably in a different way every time. And then we do there's a little bit afterwards. That's a funny thing that we do at the end of the show.
This is the bit that happens afterwards. We do sometimes where we just talk about a joke.
Yeah. And then the video, then it ends and then it's over.
And then it ends. And then here's your next episode of whatever you're listening to.